There are a lot of podcasts out there, but how many of them are actually worth the time? Or maybe you feel you don't have anything in common with the host. Well, there's a podcast you should try. It's called Sergeant Dino's True Talk Podcast. True Talk on topics you'll find not only interesting, but important to you. Plus, a lot of people feel that Sergeant Dino's voice is one they can count on to be their trustworthy friend. Check it out yourself. Live from Austin, Texas, Sergeant Dino's True Talk Podcast. You'll find him everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Instagram. That's Sergeant Dino's True Talk Podcast. Listen, learn, and build a better you.
Hello, hello, hello. All right. Second time is the charm. For some reason, my first recording of this actually was null and void. Somehow duplicated the audio and everything was echoing. So here we are. Try number two. An hour later. But we are getting there. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd first like to say thank you, and welcome to Sardino's True Talk community. Thank you for spending some time with us. I'd like to start off with just a couple of shout-outs. The biggest shout-out that I'd like to give is to a lady by the name of Carmen Frederick. She actually was kind enough to make a new logo for Sardino's True Talk. For those who have seen it, you guys have seen, what kind of work she does. And I was very happy with what she provided, and she really is going to be hopefully an integral part of the art scene, at least when it comes to Sardino's True Talk. So, today, I'd like to talk about, or today's topic is going to be about imposter syndrome, okay? Before we get into that, I'd like to give a couple of more updates. So, thank you guys all for getting us to 9,000 views on YouTube and over 2,000 views on, 2,000 downloads over on iHeartRadio, along with Apple Podcasts and all those other podcast streaming services. I'm very, very happy with what we've been able to accomplish and the route that Sardino's True Talk is taking. So, let's start off this episode with just basically defining what imposter syndrome is, and then we will move on from there. So, the first thing I'd like to talk about is that imposter syndrome is loosely defined as doubting your abilities and feeling like a fraud, okay? It disproportionately affects high-achieving people who find it difficult to accept their accomplishments, and many question whether they're even deserving of accolades, in general. So there's quite a bit here, but what I want people to understand is that imposter syndrome is not a disease or a psychological ailment, okay? Imposter syndrome is just an experience, a phenomenon. It happens to almost everyone. So, by statistics, 70% of U.S. Americans suffer from imposter syndrome of some sort, but there's no clinical regimen to imposter syndrome. It's just everyone deals with it. Two good examples I'd like to give for imposter syndrome are Maya Angelou and Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, a little on a tangent here, but he felt like he would call himself an involuntary swindler, meaning that his ideas were never his own. It was always another idea that he elevated. So he felt a bit of an imposter, all right? And if you know anything about his history, it's quite different from the truth, along with Maya Angelou. So I pulled a quote, in particularly with Maya Angelou, that I'd like to share. And it says, "Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it." Okay? Imposter syndrome really impacts all men and women from all walks of life, but it is seen mostly or predominantly in high-achieving adults more than others. This was another definition that was pulled. It just defines imposter syndrome as feeling in which an individual doubts their skills or their talents or accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud, despite external evidence of their competence, and those experiencing this phenomenon remain convinced that they're frauds, and they don't deserve what they all achieve. So it's hard to think that Maya Angelou, such a great, I mean, author, writer, poet, activist, she did so much. Same thing with Albert Einstein. Not everyone is safe from this, and everyone tends to suffer. The only reason I came across imposter syndrome is because I recently was going to therapy. And there's a lot of things that I wanted to deal with. And one of those things was exactly this. I feel like I've been maybe suffering from imposter syndrome for a little over 2 years now. Because as a network engineer, I have a certain expectation of what that person should be, right? And I don't feel like sometimes I fit that mold perfectly. I have some snippets of it, and I am capable of the work, but I tend to downplay myself, and it's really easy to spiral, when you're suffering from imposter syndrome, okay? And the one key thing that I want, people to understand is that it's not a disease. It's not a disease, but it can lead to some serious stuff, such as depression, anxiety, or excuse me, there's a third, but it's eluding my mind right now, since it's the second time I'm recording this. But you have to understand that you're very capable, okay? Lou Solomon, so as I was going through my reading, I've came across several sources, okay, several sources of information, and I really like Lou Solomon's breakdown kind of how she felt. She would describe it as like, you snuck into the movie theater, you snuck into life's movie theater, and the bouncer is fixing to get you. So you're constantly looking over your shoulder to find the bouncer, but he might not even know. You know what I mean? But that's the gist of what she was going for. But there is one thing that I loved, that I thought she nailed on the head, which was called the Fantastic Four. So it's anxiety, perfectionism, fear of failure, and self-doubt. Now, out of all of those, the one I want you to kind of hone in on is self-doubt. Because this is one of the ways to get rid of or to combat imposter syndrome. Self-doubt is only in your head. There's no one voicing that. There's no one doing research on it. There's no one compiling a list of events that, Dino has screwed up. But sometimes you feel that way, right? At work, I feel like I'm capable of doing more, but the reason why I don't do those things is because of a lack of education on my part. So what I've noticed is that I have to constantly try to reach out and learn these things that are not of my interest. Now that's where I feel like it's difficult, because when you're someone in a high-profile job such as myself, it's really, really difficult to have your own picture of what you should be doing, because there's no standard, right? There's no standard perfect network engineer, but every network engineer does a little bit different flavors, but and I'm only talking about this because this is my experience with imposter syndrome and just feeling like I'm not capable and my accomplishments not meaning anything, and me almost wanting to get out of this position because I'm not 100% in it, if that makes sense. Like, it's the difference between career and a calling, right? I am leaning more to the calling end. I quite not sure what that is, but I still have to pay bills, so I will do what I need to do, right? But what I want people to understand, and I am at no means saying go ahead and quit your job or anything like that, feeling this way. I'm just stating that you need to voice those self-doubts and you need to write them down, if you can. So during this process of me going to therapy, this is what something I was working on a lot, because I feel like I'm quite a perfectionist, and that is honestly some of the ways that imposter syndrome presents itself. So I'm gonna give you some examples of imposter syndrome and what types and how do they relate, right? So there's five in total. The first one is the superhero, who overworks themselves. They make up for how inadequate they feel, meaning they feel so inadequate that they just load up their schedules, they unrealistic timelines, all this stuff. Second one is the natural genius, where you set exceedingly high goals and feel crushed when you don't get them. So it's like me going, hey, I'm gonna reach 1 million, subscribers by next year. Not realistic. You got to do the work behind it. You know what I mean? The third type of imposter syndrome is an expert. So they're never satisfied with their level of understanding, always trying to learn more. I kind of fit in here, because I feel like I'm sought out as an expert sometimes, and I feel like I don't always have the right answer. But I'm always willing to do the work to get there, like to find the answer or to get you to that right person. Number four, perfectionists. Never completely happy with their work, fixated on flaws instead of strengths. And then a soloist who prefer to work alone. They won't ask for help for fear of appearing weak or incompetent. So those are your five types of imposter syndrome. It's really hard for me to believe that only 70% of the United States feels they have had self-doubt. So you're saying three out of four people. So one out of four people does not have any self-doubt. I highly doubt that. So I think it's a lot higher than that. That's just my personal opinion. But it's what I have been seeing. Now, imposter syndrome, a lot of people think that it was correlated to, growing up with domestic violence or maybe having serious conflict at a young age, or constant criticism from a parent, physical abuse of the parent, or maybe an alcoholic parent. So there's always a deeper suffering or a worry that's involved, but that has zero correlation with the imposter syndrome itself. They've proven it out, and really what they've said that imposter syndrome is more of an experience or a phenomenon. It's just something that happens. And it happens to quite a bit of people, So, now that we know what imposter syndrome is and the types of imposter syndrome and what some people believe the cause of imposter syndrome are, let's give you some examples to combat it. Okay, so a lot of people look as imposter syndrome as a vulnerability or a weakness, right? So going back to the self-doubt thing, to me, imposter syndrome is almost 99.9% in your head. Okay, your mind is the one that's telling you, oh no, you can't, you're not capable of that. Oh, that requires a lot of work to do. Oh, that timeline is unrealistic. Oh, I really don't know what this is. Those are those self-doubts that you need to annotate, write down, and work on those things that you may not like. I've done it myself, and I'm not saying it's easy, But it is fruitful to see that you're capable of doing the work and you're able to study and set yourself a timeline to do the specific tasks that you're assigned to do. You know? So if you're one of those person who has, you know, a stalled project or an unfinished masterpiece, I urge you to go back and look at that and finish it. Get it done. It does not have to be perfect. And that's one of the reasons why I came across this, was because of some of the things that I'm also doing for the channel. So let me give you some examples here too. Sheryl Sandberg, who was one of the top leaders in Facebook, has zero experience in IT. I'm pretty sure that she had a lot of self-doubt talking to millions of people about Facebook and worrying about an IT question that they might have asked her. Okay? Another one is the CEO of Starbucks. He was originally a Xerox salesman. He went overseas, he had an experience in a coffee house that he really appreciated, and he thought that he could bring it back to the States, and bam, Starbucks was born. But a Xerox salesman, okay? I am sure he had doubts about opening a coffee shop. You know, who would have known it would have became what it was? But if he had not taken the leap, if he hadn't done the work behind it, he would have never gotten there. I just urge you, because I've come across so much good information on imposter syndrome, and if you realize how much is being written about it, shows you how many people are actually suffering from it. I mean, you have Christina Whitaker, who did a TEDx, you have Donna Sarkar, who did a TEDx, you have Mike Cannon Brooks, who did TEDx Sydney, and then Lou Solomon, who did TEDx Charlotte. I've also gone through multiple sources. I would tell you the best one that I personally found was the American Psychology Association. And they have given us kind of 7 strategies for overcoming imposter syndrome, which I will go over. And I just wanted to, you know, not only go over this because I know other people feel the same way, but I didn't have a name for this. I didn't know what it was, but I've always kind of felt like that. I mean, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. There's a lot of things I do, and I have a lot of accomplishments as well that I don't like sharing, but it's stuff that I have to give myself a pat on the back so I can recognize that I am capable of doing this stuff, and I'm capable of much more. So are you. Going right into some other data I have here for you is, let's go over the 7 strategies for overcoming imposter syndrome. So, number 1, learn the facts. Okay? Figure out what imposter syndrome is for you and define those self-doubts for yourself. Number 2, share your feelings. Talk to somebody else. Maybe you would hear from someone else and they'll go, hey man, you're really, really good at this. You need to keep going. Or, hey, you're not so good. Let's focus on this. This is what you're good at. You know, whatever that is. Number 3, celebrate your successes, as trivial and small as they could be. Celebrate them, because that is what's going to motivate you to continue to learn and make you kind of stay in that vicinity. Number 4, let go of perfectionism. Very difficult for me. I don't like putting out products that are unfinished or to me feel edged or hastily put together. That is the reason why I do the episodes in my format and kind of take a lot of time studying a topic, because I don't want to misinterpret anything and I don't want anyone to feel that I'm misleading. So, number 5, cultivate your self-compassion. Now, that's a hard one right there. Most people hear that voice in their head and they just start breaking down. Hey, you can't do this. That timeline is not realistic. You know, this work is difficult. I do not know it. Am I going to have enough time to finish it? Will I meet the deadline? You will never know until you write these things down. Say you got a deadline, you miss it, and you jack something out, take that object and study the hell out of it so then you can understand what went wrong. And that, those are your self-doubts that already are existing, you know. Number six, share your failures. And then I'm going to say number seven as well, is accept your failures, okay? So sharing your failures is important because I think the vent is very good, and understanding maybe why you failed in a different perspective could be very useful. But you need to also accept them, because how can you grow if you don't know what you're no sucky at, or what you would consider a failure? But maybe your failure is not even a failure. It just might be a failure to you. So yeah, those three key points I think are the biggest to take away from here. Identify your self-doubts and attack those things, okay? Because 99.9% of those self-doubts are all in your head. There's no one coming. There's no bouncer in the back waiting for you. You just keep trucking. You know, do as best as you can with the projects that you have. So, once again, I'm just going to state it that this is not a disease, but it has a huge correlation with causing or leading to addiction, leading to perfectionism, and also leading to anxiety. Perfectionism is not labeled, but I just restated it as Lou Solomon would call those the Fantastic Four, you know, self-doubt, fear of failure, perfectionism, and anxiety. So I'm going to urge you guys to pick up those unfinished projects and those stalled masterpieces. Listen for brilliance. Listen for excellence. Listen for wisdom. Listen for inspiration. Listen for inventiveness in yourself. It doesn't have to be in anyone else. It has to be in yourself. All right. And lastly, the one thing I would say that I've seen in correlation is that most successful people go through this, you know, because either you're in constant critique, like an artist, for example. An artist is a good example of someone who's constantly critiquing their work. They're constantly negating what they've been able to do, what they're capable of. Oh, I won't consider myself an artist until my piece is in a museum or something like that, you know. Or they have a really high stress job, you know. And those are the two specific people that I'm kind of targeting so they can get this data and understand that they're not alone, and they are not, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just a combination of you compiling your self-doubts of your current situation. And, I think Lou Solomon hit it perfectly. Imposter syndrome's like having a really shitty best friend. Okay? And they're going to tell you everything that's wrong, everything that's not good, everything that you need to not do, and will also limit you. Okay? So stop those limiting beliefs and lies. Do not even entertain them. Okay? And just stop measuring your success. Crush the products that you have in front of you. Don't worry about it, measuring it. Just do what you think is fit for you, if that makes sense. Lastly, just some of the sources that I've gotten some of this data from, the American Psychology Association. I also did a lot of research on specific creation of, the creation of imposter syndrome, how it came about, and all the studies. But just understand that almost everyone suffers from this. I didn't know what it was for quite a while, and now that I've put a label on it, it has helped me quite a bit. Not only with my self-doubts, but putting projects out the way I want to without hesitating. So lastly, I'm going to give you a bit of news. I've been working on an ebook for quite a while now. So if you guys can, you can message me, comment, however you want to reach out to me. I will be doing a little bit more back-end work before I release it. And I purposely I think I edited this book over 8 times, and it's only 28 pages long. It's not a very long book, but I put a lot of effort into it, and it combines pretty much season one and season two episodes in one ebook format, which I thought was a pretty good idea, and I think that many others would like it as well. So, if you're interested in reading it, or you're interested in just seeing the actual book and giving me a critique or a review, I would highly recommend just reaching out to me. Anyways, you can reach me Sarandino at Instagram. You can reach me on Facebook on the Sarandino's True Talk, and you can also reach me on YouTube for Sarandino's True Talk. Lastly, you've been doing a lot of content on Twitch for my gamers or for people who just have Twitch, please follow me, friend me. I just joined the team military, and I will be doing a lot more content on Twitch, in support of Sarandino's True Talk. So what I would be doing is just kind of gaming, doing kind of giveaways and stuff like that, so people can interact on the Twitch side. I also have a Discord server. Same thing applies. Reach out to me if you want that data, and we will give it to you. And let's start really building this thing up. And thank you guys so much for your support. Can't thank you enough. We would not have been able to get to 9,000 views without you. We would not have been able to get under 2,000 downloads on iHeartRadio. And I'm just very blessed and grateful for having you guys in my community. And thank you again for listening to little old me. And hopefully this episode on imposter syndrome helps you out, and lets you get through some of those other struggles. And once again, thank you again for your time. Have a good day.
There are a lot of podcasts out there, but how many of them are actually worth the time? Or maybe you feel you don't have anything in common with the host. Well, there's a podcast you should try. It's called Sergeant Dino's True Talk Podcast. True Talk on topics you'll find not only interesting, but important to you. Plus, a lot of people feel that Sergeant Dino's voice is one they can count on to be their trustworthy friend. Check it out yourself. Live from Austin, Texas, Sergeant Dino's True Talk Podcast. You'll find him everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Instagram. That's Sergeant Dino's True Talk Podcast. Listen, learn, and build a better you.